scraps of decayed fabric poked out of the opening, forced out of their usual resting place by the creature that had taken refuge inside. The eyes were locked onto him. He stared back, trapped in the stalemate, as the hissing grew harsher and the temperature plummeted. Then he managed to draw in a sharp breath and yell, "Bran!" Eliza exploded out of the wardrobe. Daniel glimpsed the door spiraling through the air and heard it smash into the wall behind the bed. Something heavy and impossibly cold slammed into his chest. He fell, and his shoulders and back scraped over the glass shards. Gnashing teeth extended from a wolf-like maw made of darkness. Froth dripped from them and splattered across Daniel's cheek. He grabbed for the talisman and thrust it between himself and the monster, and the creature arced back with an ear-splitting yowl. Daniel rolled, trying to escape the numbing cold that pressed against him, and teeth dug into his shoulder. He screamed, and the teeth tightened. He pressed the talisman into the monster's head and felt it buck. A gurgling, wheezing noise bubbled through its jaws, but it didn't release him. Something large flew through the room's open door. It slammed into the shadow creature, and Daniel caught flashes of talons and beady black eyes. Bran. The impact scraped him across the floor, digging glass shards into his arm, but the monster finally released his shoulder. Bran and Eliza tumbled across the floor. The crow was massive, larger than Daniel, but Eliza had grown as well. Her body seemed more liquid than solid, as the smoke-like shadows coiled around her. Daniel found it hard to make sense of what he was seeing, except for the gnashing teeth and wide eyes. The monster leapt for the open window, but didn't pass through. She rebounded, as though the glass pane were still intact, and a whistle-like shriek made Daniel flinch. The salt line had contained her. Bran leapt towards Eliza. Massive wings buffeted Daniel as his claws clutched the shadow monster. They slammed into the wardrobe. The wood was rotten, and the structure collapsed on top of them. A dark shape exploded out of the fragmented boards. It darted across the room and through the still-open door, around Daniel's half-completed salt line. The enormous crow flapped once, then dove towards the floor, where it seemed to crumple in on itself. The tattered black feathers became dusty fur, and the small black cat stood in the crow's place. It blinked at Daniel, then leapt through the door in pursuit of the black monster. Daniel, breathless and dizzy, leaned against the wall below the window as he struggled to replenish his oxygen. The bedroom seemed unnervingly still now that the warring shapeshifters had left. He touched his fingers to where he'd been bitten. Flecks of blood dotted his arm, but it came from where glass shards had nicked him. The bite had felt agonizingly hard, but it hadn't broken the skin. Dark bruising spread from the teeth marks instead. "She's strong and fast." Daniel tightened his uninjured hand over the talisman as he lurched to his feet. Bran would need the holy water and silver if he had any hope of winning against Eliza. Sounds of a fight came from the staircase, where screeching and beating wings combined into an eerie tempest. Daniel snatched the candelabrum off the dresser to light his way and ran down the first flight of stairs. The first landing was empty, but as he turned its corner, he saw shadows dancing through the strokes of moonlight that striped the foyer floor. He leapt the last three steps and felt his breath freeze in his throat. Bran and Eliza tangled in the center of the foyer floor, their inky black forms blending together. The giant crow was trapped on its back, its wings beating futilely and talons twitching. The shadow monster tore out clumps of feathers. The plumage scattered among the dead leaves and swirled in eddies as the crow's wings fluttered. Each beat was weaker than the one before. "Hey!" Daniel plunged his hand into the bag of salt as he ran towards the fight. Eliza raised her head. Black liquid dripped off her bared fangs. Daniel threw the salt at her. The granules glittered in the candlelight as they arced through the air, and when they hit the monster, its snarl transformed into a howl. Plumes of black smoke burst out of her form as though she had been singed. She scrambled back, her head thrashing. Daniel skidded to a halt at Bran's side. The crow flapped a final time, then its wings drooped to its sides. Daniel dropped the candelabrum beside Bran, then lifted the talisman in one hand and a new handful of salt in the other. Eliza circled at the edge of the candlelight. He could see nothing of her except the glint of murderous eyes and the frothing saliva dripping from her jaws. Daniel bared his own teeth, daring her to try again. Her eyes flicked between the salt and the talisman. She snapped her jaws, then leapt away towards the front door. Daniel followed her movements and drew a sharp breath. He'd shut the door before pouring salt in front of it, but it now stood propped open. He ran past the massive crow and threw the fistful of salt, hoping it would be enough, but Eliza flattened herself close to the ground as she darted under it. She slipped through the door and disappeared into the night.
No! How?
Daniel looked down. The salt he'd painstakingly spread across the threshold was smudged. By who? Bran? That doesn't make sense. He turned to the scene of the fight. The crow had transformed back into the small black cat. It looked horribly forlorn as it lay in a ring of shredded feathers and dark blood. Daniel took a step closer, but Bran wasn't moving.
Looky here, I finally found you.
The voice came from behind him. Daniel twisted. He was just in time to stop Kyle's fist from connecting with his head. He grasped the wrist, holding Kyle at arm's length, and stared at him with growing horror. Kyle looked ghastly. He wore his jacket over the hospital pajamas, which were stained and torn from traveling through the forest. His hair was a mess, and unshaven stubble covered his sagging cheeks. He carried a yellow plastic jug in his spare hand. When he exhaled, his breath reeked of alcohol. Daniel grimaced.
Damn it! You can't be here! You opened the door, didn't you? You must have broken the salt line!
The what now?
Kyle took a step closer. Daniel backed up. Kyle tried and failed to twist his hand free as his bloodshot eyes narrowed.
Look, I don't want any problems, you hear me? I'm just here to claim what's mine.
Daniel refused to release Kyle's wrist as the man forced him to back up another step.
You're insane for coming back. What are you after? Your backpacks? I left them in the corner by the door. I'm insane?
Kyle's laugh was cracked and raspy. He dropped the yellow jug, and it made a sloshing sound as it hit the floor.
Take a look in the mirror. And I don't want a backpack, you idiot. I'm after what I'm owed. The gold. That freak threw me out of a window and screwed up my shoulder. I'm entitled to compensation. Just tell me where it is, and we can avoid any other trouble, yeah?
They took a third step back, trapped in a stalemate. Daniel could clearly see what he'd already started to suspect in the hospital. Kyle had become irrational and obsessive. The hungry light in his eyes was unfamiliar. He would never have thrown away his sense of self-preservation before the accident, no matter how great the reward. But the fall had damaged his mind, and all he cared about anymore was getting the golden coins.
Okay.
Daniel looked over Kyle's shoulder towards the open door. He didn't know how fast Eliza was moving. If he was quick, it might not be too late to corral her back inside the mansion.
I'll give you all the gold I have, but first I need your help. A woman named Eliza ran through the door just a moment ago. She looks like a monster. We have to get her back inside the manor. I can't tell you how important it is. If you help me, I'll get you everything I have as a reward.
He'd been too focused on the door. Kyle took advantage of his distraction and closed the space between them, his other fist rising. Daniel ducked to avoid the blow, but his balance had been thrown off, and his legs fell out from underneath him. They collapsed to the ground, Kyle on top of him, and Daniel gasped as the air was forced from his lungs.
Oh, you need help, all right,
Kyle sneered, his mouth stretched into a demented smile. He gripped Daniel's shoulders, pulled them up, then shoved them back down, cracking his skull against the tile floor.
A whole huge lot of help.
Daniel's vision turned black. Chapter 29. Daniel groaned and rolled to his side. Lights flashed across his eyes, and nausea made him retch, but there was nothing in his stomach to bring up. Audio distortions dug into his skull, making him shudder. It sounded like static. He wished it would stop. It was hurting his head. But as he lay still, with his eyes squeezed closed against the lights, the sound only grew louder. Not static. Crunching leaves? He lay on the marble floor. The cold tile felt good against his flushed skin and aching head, but the dry leaves dug into his cheek. His left arm hurt. A thick, unpleasant smell pushed through the scent of dust and decay and made the migraine throb twice as bad. Gasoline. Kyle was carrying a plastic bottle. Did he spill it when he dropped it? Daniel cracked his eyelids open. The lights redoubled, flashing white and yellow, and Daniel's scrambled mind put the pieces together. He lurched to his knees and instantly regretted it, as the migraine slammed his skull hard enough to make him gag again. This time, when he inhaled, smoke itched at his lungs. He lit a fire. The madman's trying to burn the house down. Daniel couldn't have been unconscious for more than a minute or two. The fire was still in its infancy, but spreading quickly along gasoline trails. Kyle had doused circles through the dry leaves and led the flames to the decaying chairs beside the fireplace, then tipped the candelabrum over to light it. Daniel didn't know if there was enough kindling to spread the fire to the rest of the building. He didn't want to find out. He stood, begging his feet to carry his weight, and staggered. The salt bag was still slung around his shoulders, weighing him down, but he didn't want to drop it yet. Flames licked close to his boots. Daniel stamped on them, crushing the leaves they were consuming, but all he managed was to shoot embers out like miniature fireworks. He covered his mouth and nose with his sleeve and tried to blink through the haze. The fire was too widespread to give him hope that he could put it out. It had already caught on two of the long, tattered curtains at the back of the room. Smoke filled the space, making Daniel cough, and the thinning oxygen left him dizzy. "I've got to get out." Daniel rotated, hunting for Bran. He tried to call the man's name, but choked on the air. The sickening odor of burning feathers built into the bitter smoke. Daniel turned towards it and found the scene of the fight, where the crow's plumage had been torn out. The feathers were melting in the flames. Daniel staggered through them and found the black cat lying on the tiles. He didn't stir, even when the fire licked close to him, but his chest rose in small gasps. "Bran!" Daniel knelt at the cat's side and nudged its head. Oxygen deprivation was making it hard to think and see. The cat didn't move. Its eyes were closed, but its jaw hung open a fraction. The tiles were splattered with the crow's dark blood, but Daniel couldn't see any signs of cuts on the cat's body. Even so, something was very wrong with Bran. Daniel eased one arm under the cat. He cradled its head in his elbow and tried to keep the rest of its body level as he held it close to his chest. Then he stood and ran through the growing flames. Instead of subsiding as the leaves were consumed, the blaze had grown larger. Its heat made sweat run down Daniel's forehead and back, and every breath made his throat and lungs ache as moisture was sucked out of the air. The front door was still propped open. Daniel didn't know if Kyle had left or ventured farther into the building. It seemed insane to light a fire unless he was about to leave, but on the other hand, Kyle wouldn't want to return to the town empty-handed. Daniel ran through the open door and stumbled down the stairs to the yard. Compared to the inferno, the outside air was achingly cold. Daniel's skin smarted from the shift. Crows shuffled in the tree. Their caws blared through the still night air as they vocalized their distaste for the glow and smoke coming through the window. Daniel squinted as he hunted for the shadow beast amongst the moonlight-speckled, overgrown plants. He couldn't see any movement, but the plants to his right were darker and lumpier than he remembered, and Daniel pulled the cat closer to his chest as he crept towards them. Patches of the tree's bark had bubbled and discolored into fist-sized clumps, then frozen solid again. The effect was like melted plastic. Daniel picked up a stick and used it to prod one of the protrusions. Black liquid oozed out, and Daniel's mouth twisted. The plague. He could visualize the monster lurching into the garden. It would have brushed against trunks and branches, and everywhere it touched had become deformed. The poison was spreading, too. Even in the few seconds he'd been watching, he could see the discoloration creeping across the bark. Everywhere it touched puckered in and shriveled. Damn it! How far will this spread? He could see the trail leading farther into the woods. The tree's distortion was horrific and repulsive, but it gave him a clear path to follow. Daniel bent to place the cat onto the ground outside the house, but stopped. The crows continued to shuffle and cry behind him. They were scavengers, and to them, an unresponsive cat would look like a carcass ready to pick dry. Daniel shuddered and held the feline closer. He did his best to ignore the nausea and dizziness as he jogged into the trail the shadow beast had created. The woods felt more oppressive than normal that night. Branches scraped across his cheeks and snagged his clothes. Sticky liquid, sap burst from the trees that had been damaged, dripped onto him. The crows continued to cry, but as they faded into the distance, a suffocating silence took their place. No animals or insects moved inside the gardens. Daniel was alone with his ragged breathing and pounding heart. He didn't get far before a shape blocked his path. It looked as though it had once been a hedge. Twisted branches and dense leaves grew out of control, higher than Daniel's head. The trail of plague climbed over the structure, but there was no way Daniel could follow. He glanced to his right. A dozen meters away, the crypt's rooftop seemed to shimmer in the cool light. Daniel turned towards it and struggled through the vines and spider webs blocking his path. Bran? He nudged the cat's head as he broke into the small clearing he'd created around the tomb. Bran, can you hear me? We're at Annalise's tomb. You'll be safe here, okay? Daniel ducked into the small enclave at the crypt's door. The stone seats would be cold, but it was better than leaving Bran out in the open, where birds or animals might find him. Daniel lowered Bran onto a clear patch of the stone bench, then shrugged out of his jacket. The chill sent shudders through him as he wrapped the clothing around the cat's limp form. His arms stung. He had aches and bruises forming across his body, but none of them hurt quite like his left shoulder. He held his arm up to the moonlight. Dark marks ringed his upper arm, where Eliza had bitten him and burst his blood vessels. The marks seemed to have grown since he'd checked them in the upstairs bedroom, and a red flush spread down towards his elbow. "That's not good." Daniel pressed his lips together. Prickles rose across the back of his neck, and he squinted towards where the moonlight poured through the enclave's doorway. It highlighted a faint, wisp-like figure. Annalise's eyes were huge and terrified, a perfect replica of the expression she wore in her portrait. "It's going to be okay." As soon as he spoke, Daniel felt guilty. The words were dangerously close to a lie. Annalise's eyes flicked from Bran to Daniel. She twisted her fingers together. Daniel remembered what Bran had said earlier. Eliza was trapped in the realm between the living and the dead, and able to harm them both. He pressed his palm into his aching forehead as he tried to think through his next move. "Annalise, I want you to stay here with your brother, all right? I'm going to try to track Eliza and kill her if I can. If she comes back to the crypt, I want you to do whatever you need to in order to stay safe. Do you understand?" There was comprehension in the panic-filled eyes, but Annalise didn't nod or smile. The fingers continued to twist together, squeezing and wringing with anxious energy. "If Bran wakes up, tell him where I've gone, but stay quiet and don't venture out where Eliza can see you." Daniel hitched the bag of salt a little higher on his shoulder. There wasn't much left in it, but it had been effective at driving the shadow monster back. He gave the siblings a final parting look. Bran's whiskers were barely visible under the jacket. Annalise stood beside him, head bowed and fingers still working. She looked lost. Daniel wished there were something else he could do for her, but neither of them would be safe until Eliza was gone. He faced the gardens and stepped into the smothering vegetation. Bran said she would be looking for prey. Will she go straight to a town, or will she stay close to the ground she knows as she hunts for Annalise, Bran, or me? As he wove towards the damaged hedge, Daniel hoped for the latter option. He tried to imagine what his city would look like a year after feeling Eliza's wrath. Would the concrete and bricks crumble under the rot like the wooden homes in Flinton had? He pictured corpses, bubbling and lumpy with the fungus, huddled inside their apartments and cars. Other cities would set up a quarantine zone, as the towns surrounding Flinton had. They would do what had to be done to keep the disease contained, even if it meant turning away refugees. Daniel spotted a deformed tree ahead, and corrected his course towards it. The plague crawled over the trunk, and black fungus had begun to ooze out of cracks in the bark. Daniel avoided touching it, as he ducked around the dying plant and followed the trail. Eliza seemed to be heading towards the gate Daniel used to access Craven Manor. He felt woefully underprepared for the confrontation. He had the talisman and the salt, but none of Bran's knowledge or experience. He didn't know what he needed to do to kill or even contain Eliza. If he was lucky, tying the talisman around her neck would be enough. If he was unlucky, he might need to find a way to make her eat it or break the glass and sprinkle the holy water over her. He didn't want to contemplate what would happen if none of that worked. The plants thinned, and Daniel stepped into the clearing ringed by stone statues and benches. A dozen agonized faces seemed to glare at him, the discoloration highlighting the folds of their clothes and painting tears down their cheeks. The basin in the circle's center looked deeper than it had before, and its filling of leaves and dirt seemed darker. Daniel came to a stop. He was breathing heavily, and his legs, taxed to their limit, shook. Which way did she go? It was hard to see the trail of destruction when shadows disguised it so well. He huffed, trying to replenish the oxygen in his aching limbs, and a cloud of condensation gusted away from his lips. She's close. When he searched for it, he felt the unnatural chill cutting at his skin and digging into his bones. He reached into the bag of salt as he turned in a slow circle. Mist had appeared out of nowhere, spilling between the statues and swirling around the dry fountain, and thickened with every passing second. As Daniel hunted amongst it, his eyes began to render bizarre shapes slinking through the white. A feather-light touch breezed across the back of his neck. He reacted quickly, twisting away from the sensation and pulling out a handful of salt. The space behind him was empty. He blinked, then the mist shifted, and Daniel gasped as he recognized the outline of a figure. Annalise peeked out from behind one of the statues. The girl was shaking. Her hair flowed around her face like a river, but hardness had replaced the fear in her eyes. Daniel released the salt and took a step towards her. He kept his voice to a whisper. "What are you doing here? It's not safe." She gave her head a small, quick shake. Daniel frowned. Eliza didn't find the tomb, did she? No, there couldn't have been enough time. Annalise must have followed me. Why? To help? You need to go back and hide. Daniel was hyper-aware of the way each word created a tiny plume of condensation. Sweat on his forehead stung as it froze. Quickly, Eliza's here. I'll be fine. Go and stay with Bran. Annalise raised a hand. Her long, near-invisible finger pointed over Daniel's shoulder. He tried to swallow as he turned. Mist grew thick in the space between a headless fawn and a weeping Grecian woman. Amongst the swirling white glowed two wide, hungry eyes.
Chapter 30. Daniel took a step back. He reached into the sack tied to his side and grasped a fistful of the coarse grains. The shadow creature drew out of the mist, its writhing, smoke-like form pushing the white fog aside. Its eyes had latched onto the girl behind Daniel, and he shifted to block Eliza's view. How much does Eliza remember? Annalise is technically the reason she became this monster. Does she want revenge? Eliza took another step forward. Her monstrous maw gaped open, dripping strands of saliva onto the leaf litter. Her claws, each one as long as Daniel's forearm, flexed and dug up clumps of dirt. She'd grown larger since he'd confronted her in the foyer. He didn't know if she was feeding off the environment or whether Bran's blood had nourished her, but she towered above him. How on earth am I going to get the talisman onto her without being ripped apart? Terror squeezed Daniel's insides, but he couldn't afford to feel it. A single moment of weakness could carry an unforgivable cost. Motion made him flinch. Annalise darted out from behind him. She leapt towards the creature that had once been her mother, then danced back. Eliza reacted instantaneously. A snarl ripped through the cold air as she lunged towards the girl. Daniel threw the salt with a yell. He'd hoped it would stop the monster, but Eliza's momentum carried her past it, her jaws reaching towards the girl's throat. Annalise ran into the statue of an elegant woman holding a vase. The ghost morphed through the stone like smoke through a fly screen, and a second later, she appeared on its other side. Eliza hit the sculpture. A scraping, crunching noise rent the air as the impact crumbled the stone. The woman's head tumbled off, the tear-streaked cheeks catching in the light, before it smashed on the ground. The vase flew away, half of an arm still attached to it. Chips and dust billowed out in a small cloud, and the shadow monster yowled. Trapped in the space between the living and the dead, like Bran, not quite tethered to the real world, but still too solid to walk through walls. We can use this. Annalise's huge, terrified eyes met Daniel's. She looked as though she wanted to speak, but he understood her glance and nodded. Keep her distracted. I'll get the talisman around her. Somehow. The girl's lips twitched, and for a second, a smile lit her expression. Daniel grabbed clumps of salt out of his bag, trying not to notice how much his left arm ached, and scattered them over the ground between the nearest statues. The leaf litter was too uneven to let him make unbroken lines, and there was no time to clear it away, but Daniel hoped the salt would still give some protection. He stepped behind the lines he'd created as Eliza rose. Black blood dribbled from the wolf-like skull where she'd impacted the stone. She turned towards Daniel, but before she could move more than a step towards him, Annalise dashed in front of her. "Be careful!" Daniel ran forward. A swipe from the immense claws grazed the tips of Annalise's hair. The girl was fast and light on her feet, but too reckless. She twirled to face the monster as she darted through another sculpture. Eliza had learned from her first mistake. Instead of chasing blindly, she swiped at the statue. Stone fragments sliced through nearby vegetation as she obliterated the dancing fawn. Daniel tossed another handful of salt behind himself, finishing a poor barrier around one half of the circle. Then he ran forward, keeping his steps as light as he could, and weaving behind the fountain to avoid drawing too much attention. The black creature prowled around the basin's other side. Its eyes were fixed on Annalise, and it didn't react to Daniel as he approached from behind. Annalise toyed with the beast, dancing forward and then leaping back. Her movements kept Eliza's attention fixed on her, but it also brought her dangerously close to the snapping jaws. Daniel took a breath to steel himself, then pulled the bag off his shoulder and lunged forward. He threw the sack into the air, launching its salt across the congealed shadows. At the same time, he threw himself onto the monster's back. Eliza reacted as soon as the salt touched her. She arched, eyes blazing, and a sound somewhere between a roar and a human scream ripped out of her.
The shadows thrashed as plumes of smoke billowed off them. Daniel hit her back and dug his hand and legs in. It was one of the most bizarre sensations he'd ever experienced, like clutching air that refused to give under his fingers. She was colder than the Arctic, and tremors ran through his skin as though he'd landed on a live wire. It was working, though. The salt had distracted her enough that his presence wasn't her priority. She bucked and thrashed, but the motions weren't intended for him, and no claws dug into his side. Daniel clung on with all of his strength and reached one hand into his shirt for the talisman. His fingers touched skin. Daniel's heart lurched as he fumbled for the leather straps and silver-wrapped vial. He came up empty.
No!
He couldn't breathe, couldn't think.
Did I drop it? Where?
Eliza's scream boiled down into a rumbling growl. The plumes of smoke thinned as the salt ceased to burn her. She twisted her head, and one of the electric, cold eyes latched on to Daniel. He could feel its intensity, like poison in his blood. Daniel pushed away from the creature and grunted as he hit the ground. The impact jarred his head, still sore from the fight in the foyer, and a spark of understanding hit Daniel. He wanted to scream. Kyle must have taken the talisman. He would have seen the vial while Daniel lay unconscious in Craven Manor's foyer. Kyle wasn't the kind to ignore a trinket that might be valuable, especially not when its owner wasn't in a position to guard it. He would have snapped the cord off Daniel's neck and carried it away. Where? Deeper into the house, which is now being consumed by flames? Or into the garden and towards the town? Both options carried it far beyond Daniel's reach. The monster twisted towards him. It had grown impossibly large. As its jaws widened, the stench of rot and evil flowed out of them. A glint of light appeared beside Daniel. Annalise's open palm smacked the monster's head as she leapt past it in a desperate effort to distract it. The attempt worked a little too well. The monster twisted after her, and the maw snagged her hair. Annalise tumbled to the ground. Her mouth opened in a scream that no one heard. She tried to crawl backwards, away from the beast, but it kept its jaw locked on her hair. A flick of its head dragged the girl forward, and Annalise's face crumpled in pain.
No!
Daniel beat at the wolf-like head, but his fists seemed to cause it no more pain than a gnat. The closest glowing eye locked on to him. It seemed to be laughing. Eliza knew she had won. A massive, claw-tipped hand rose and pressed into Annalise's back. A high-pitched shriek came from the sky. Daniel, trapped in a whirlwind of horror and fear, couldn't identify the sound. Then the cry was joined by a flurry of beating wings, and he was buffeted back. Daniel lifted his arms to shield his face, but he didn't need to. The crows paid no more attention to him than they did to Annalise. They were focused on one object alone, the beast made of shadows. The birds, at least two dozen of them, swooped at it in waves. Each time they descended, they pecked. Some came away carrying threads of shadow. One fluttered out of reach with something round and moist glistening in its beak. Daniel gagged as he recognized the object as an eye. Eliza's scream was loud enough to make Daniel's ears ache. Her head whipped as she tried to fix her jaws around the birds. Gore oozed from the plucked eye, and when she jerked, gobs flew out and splattered across the mud. Daniel scrambled back. It took a moment to find Annalise amongst the motion. The girl was cowering behind the empty fountain. She held both hands above her head and pressed her face into the ground. Daniel called to her, but she didn't respond. One of the pecking, flapping birds was larger than the others. It was struggling to stay in the air, each beat labored, and its wings were missing plumage. It seemed to be leading the flock, and ventured closer to the frothing teeth than the others dared.
Bran!
Daniel's voice was hoarse. He scrambled closer, hand stretched out.
I don't have the talisman! Be careful!
If Bran heard him, the bird didn't show it. Black writhed over black, as shadows and crows tangled. It was impossible to see what was happening. Then Eliza let out a final screaming howl and plunged away from the mass. The crows followed as she darted between two of the statues. She crossed over a salt track, and a billow of smoke rose from her back as she lurched into the forest. Within seconds, she and the crows had vanished. Daniel gained his feet. His arm, the place he'd been bitten, no longer hurt. Instead, it felt numb. He touched it and recoiled. The flesh had turned cold and lumpy.
"I am sorry."
The wheeze sounded barely human. Daniel staggered around the fountain. Bran lay in the scuffed dirt and shredded plant matter where the fight had unfolded. The man's breathing was rapid and shallow. He tried to roll onto his side, but flinched and slumped back. Daniel knelt beside Bran. He reached towards his friend's shoulder, but didn't touch it for fear of hurting him more.
"Can I do anything?"
"No."
Bran's smile devolved into a grimace. Daniel felt ghastly. The fight had taken all of his remaining energy. Even in the wan moonlight, he could see something was seriously wrong with his arm. The red flush had vanished, and black lines ran out from the bite wound. They extended as low as his wrist, and he suspected they ran across his chest as well.
"I'm infected, aren't I?"
Bran didn't reply, but there was sadness in his eyes. Daniel ran his good hand over his face and sighed. He was glad it was night. Darkness helped hide the growing bulges as the fungus writhed through him. He hoped he would succumb to it quickly, before dawn.
"I screwed everything up. Everything. I never should have..."
"To err is human."
Bran's eyes drifted closed.
"She would have found a way out eventually, with or without your help. My containment was imperfect and was slowly decaying."
"I sure didn't help, though."
"If anyone is to blame, it is me, for withholding my family's past from you. Pride is truly a deadly sin, and I let it cover up the darkest parts of my history. And now we all pay for it."
Daniel stared towards the forest. He could no longer hear any sign of Eliza or the crows. Even if he'd had the strength to run, he doubted he could catch up to her, and he was helpless against her without any weapon. There was nothing he could do except wait. Annalise curled up at Bran's side. She was trying to hide her presence, but Daniel caught glimmers of her outline when she moved. He wondered if she would stay after he and Bran were gone. He imagined her spending a century amongst the trees and crumbling walls, alone and forgotten, and he understood why Bran had put his own afterlife on hold for her. Daniel tilted his head back. An orange glow lit the tops of the trees to his right. At first, he thought it was dawn come prematurely, but then he tasted smoke on the air and realized its source.
"The house is burning."
"Good."
Bran's inhale was like sandpaper over wood.
"It is tainted ground."
"Still, it feels wrong, doesn't it? So much history bundled up in one building, and not all of it bad."
Daniel wrapped his good arm around his knees and rested his chin on their tops. He was freezing cold. When he focused on it, he could feel the plague spreading through him. His arm felt too large, the skin stretched tight, as fungus crawled through his veins like fuzzy, repulsive caterpillars. He knew he would break into a screaming, crying mess if he watched it. So he fixed his eyes on the orange glow and began talking, nearly desperately.
"All of those bedrooms. Your family must have been big when the place was built. Even with the dust and dirty windows, it was still a magnificent home. I bet it would have been amazing with the candles all lit and full of guests."
"If you care for the damn building so much..."
Bran lifted a hand towards the sky. He spread his blackened fingers, then contracted them into a fist and pulled it back towards his chest. Daniel blinked at the treetops, but it took a second for him to taste the change in the air. The stars began to disappear. Then a speck of cold water hit Daniel's cheek. It was followed closely by more. Then a flash of lightning brightened the scene for a moment, as rain clouds swarmed the area. The rain came thick and hard, smothering them. It plastered Daniel's hair to his face and washed the dirt, salt, and dust off him. The stone statues looked even grimmer, with rain saturating their forms, but it also softened them in a strange way. They no longer seemed judgmental, but merely sad. In the distance, the glow from the fire began to abate.
"That's a cool trick," he gave a shaky laugh. "Must make watering the gardens easy."
Bran was silent. His pallid face had become slack, and the pained crease between his eyes was gone. Daniel watched the raindrops ping off his skin for a moment, then buried his face in his knees. He couldn't see Annalise any longer. He felt wholly alone. It was just him and the hideous growths spreading through his body. Rain washed over him, filling the fountain and turning the ground to mud. Daniel clenched his teeth as he tried to keep his cries silent. Something moved through the plants ahead. Daniel made himself lift his head. The sounds came from something large. It snapped branches and crushed leaves underfoot. And beneath the churn of motion was an undercurrent of harsh breaths.
"Has the shadow beast come back to finish what she started? Let her. I have nothing left, so my death may as well buy the people in town a few more minutes."
The shape paused between two trees. With the clouds blocking the moonlight, it was perfectly hidden in the shadows. Daniel could see only a pair of wide eyes. Chapter 31. Despite Daniel's fog of exhaustion and grief, something about that shape skulking between the trees seemed wrong. Daniel focused on its eyes. The crows had plucked out one of the shadow beasts, but the figure ahead of him had two.
"Hello?"
His voice sounded awful, as though he'd screamed until he was hoarse. He tried to rub his wet hair out of his eyes, but accidentally used the infected hand. The spongy, bulging flesh was horrifying. The shape took a step forward. It was too small to be the massive beast Eliza had become. In the cloud-dampened moonlight, Daniel caught a glimpse of human skin. The gait was familiar. Bile rose in Daniel's throat.
"It's a bloody labyrinth here,"
Kyle spoke in a stage whisper, one projected so loudly that Daniel had no problem hearing it through the drumming rain.
"It's cursed. It's got to be. He won't let me leave. Which way is out, Dan? You've got to tell me. Just point me in the right direction. There won't be any more trouble from me."
He carried a bag. It looked heavy. The idea that he might have actually found Bran's coins flitted through Daniel's mind, but it was drowned out by cold, burning resentment. Kyle took a step closer. The splotchy color from earlier had drained from his face, leaving it gray and mixing sweat into the rain that coursed over him. He raised a hand to shield his eyes. Daniel could feel his cousin's gaze skipping from him to the crumpled body at his side. He shuffled forward to hide Bran. To let Kyle gawk at him felt wrong. Irreverent.
"Tell me how to get out of here."
Kyle still spoke in a whisper. He had probably heard the fight, Daniel realized, and had been spooked. The alcohol was wearing off, and with it went the bravado. He was probably desperate to get to the safety of his home again, but he'd spent more than an hour lost in the living maze surrounding Craven Manor. In another life, Daniel would have felt pity for him. But all he had left was burning, boiling frustration.
"You're to blame for this."
He couldn't keep the angry tremor out of his voice.
"I've got blame on my shoulders, too. So does Bran, and Eliza, and the people who killed Annalise. We're all at fault here, but you were the linchpin. If you hadn't tried to rob the house, broken the tower door, told me about the town, taken the talisman, the way out!
Kyle's boots squelched in the mud as he lunged forward. His face contorted in fear and anger, he raised a fist.
You've got to know where it is! Show me, you bastard!
Daniel raised his infected arm to point behind himself. Kyle gagged and staggered back as he saw the blackened, bulging flesh. What little color had been in his face bled away.
What the hell?
This is on your head. Daniel dropped the arm. He could feel the infection crawling through his chest and creeping up one side of his neck. He wondered if he would suffocate when it reached his esophagus. That would be a mercy. It's on my head, too.
Why couldn't we have left well enough alone? You're not making any sense, man.
Kyle's eyes didn't leave Daniel's arm. Gripping the bag with a shaking hand, he backed away, his steps unsteady.
Just stay there, all right? I'm gonna get out of here, and I'll send someone back for you, okay?
That was a lie. Kyle clearly had no intention of looking back once he was out of Craven Manor's bounds. Daniel tilted his head back to feel the rain across his face. The anger faded as though the water washed it away. Instead, he felt numb. His infected arm was prickling, but he didn't want to see how bad it had gotten. He dreaded seeing the skin split, the fungus spilling out to cement him to the ground beside Bran's body.
Just don't try to follow me, all right?
Kyle was at the edge of the clearing. The shadows behind him seemed impossibly dense, like a wall of black that would swallow him up. Daniel's heart missed a beat. The darkness had blinded him, and the rain had deafened him to what had been going on around them. He tried to call a warning.
Behind you! Stay there!
Kyle's eyes flashed as they watched Daniel and the blackened arm. He didn't hear the grating, gasping breaths. He didn't see the shadows beginning to coil around him. He couldn't feel the single eye trained on the back of his head. Daniel reached forward, but his legs refused to lift him. Kyle responded to the motion by taking another step back, right into Eliza's open maw. The scream was one of the worst things Daniel had ever heard. He threw his good arm over his eyes to block out the sight of the carnage. The wail only lasted 2 seconds, then Kyle gurgled and abruptly fell silent. The sounds of snapping bones and wet chewing noises followed. Daniel moaned. He'd hated Kyle, but he'd never wanted the other man to die. He kept his head down, sickened by the slippery chewing noises. Eliza would come for him next, he knew. He inclined his head toward Bran's side, where he'd last seen the ghost.
Annalise, run, hide.
A flicker of movement illuminated her. She was sitting with her knees drawn up under her chin, arms wrapped around them, and head bowed so deeply that her hair hid her features. She shook her head vigorously.
Please, you still have a chance. I can keep her occupied for a few minutes.
The chewing noises fell quiet. For several painful heartbeats, the only thing Daniel heard was the rain rushing through the foliage. Then a low, slow whining noise came from the shadows. Daniel had been trying not to look at it, but as the sound grew louder, he couldn't stop himself. Eliza had grown immense. Her shoulders brushed some of the tree's higher branches, and her sides pressed against the trunks surrounding her. Bright red gore sparkled on her teeth. Her single eye seemed to shine as it rolled back in her head. A shudder ran through the writhing shadows, then she thrashed her head to one side. Daniel scuttled back and bumped into Bran. As another keening, screeching noise escaped the monster, the need to hide overwhelmed him, but there was nowhere to go. Instead of trying to run, he ducked down and pressed his good arm across his face. The wail grew in pitch and volume. Trees creaked as Eliza lurched into them,
Her massive claws dug into the ground, and as they twitched, they tore up chunks of earth. Flecks of something dusty brushed over Daniel's cheek. They felt like moth wings, and he impulsively swatted at them. One of the shapes stuck to his hand and crumbled when he flexed his fingers. Like a scrap of burnt paper, it was thin and fragile, and the rain made it disintegrate into soot-gray clumps. More of the shapes brushed past Daniel. They clung to his hair and clothes, and he shuddered at the sensation. He knew where they were coming from, but it was horrible to watch the monster, Eliza, disintegrate. She threw her head back, the neck twisting farther than should have been possible, and as she screamed, the muscles in her throat rippled, then tore. They billowed away, and the shadows became soot as they left her body. It clumped on the ground, in the branches, and over the grim statues.
"She's dying." Daniel squinted against the rush of black fragments. Eliza seemed to be crumpling in on herself, as though someone had put a magnet inside her chest and her body was being sucked into it. Claws broke into shards. Her face collapsed. Her limbs twitched a final time, then a billow of black smoke exploded out from her. Daniel gagged as it washed over him. It seemed never-ending, as though the world had been swallowed in the heavy, cold dust. Daniel squeezed his eyes closed and tried to hold his breath, even as he convulsed with coughs. As the rain beat through it, the air gradually cleared. Daniel's lungs stopped burning. He blinked his eyes open and saw the scene had been blanketed with a layer of soot. A mound of it rested where Eliza had last stood. Rain was turning it into a clay-like mud, and a bright metallic shape emerged in the heap's center as the soot was washed away. Daniel scooted forward and used his good hand to pluck the talisman out of the charred fragments. It felt warm.
"How about that? Kyle must have put it in his pocket, and Eliza swallowed it when she consumed him."
There was nothing left of either Kyle or Eliza. Daniel slumped back, his chest aching and his head foggy. He should have been elated, or at least relieved, but instead, he just felt numb. He clutched the talisman to his chest. The horrific, clawing sensations had stopped moving through his veins. Daniel glanced at his damaged arm, but grimaced and looked away again. The skin had turned shades of mottled gray and black. He couldn't bend the fingers. But the fungus had stopped spreading. He supposed he was grateful for that. Bran had been coated by the sticky black soot. Daniel returned to his side and pressed his fingers to the man's neck. The thin skin felt as cold as marble, and there was no sign of a pulse. For all Daniel knew, Bran might not have had a pulse for decades. The man's face was slack, though. He looked peaceful. Daniel pulled up the corner of his t-shirt and tried to wipe the grime off Bran's face. His own clothes were covered in the same soot, though, and he only succeeded in rubbing it around. He exhaled and dropped his head. Annalise appeared at his side. He could feel an icy chill rolling off her, worsening the shivers he'd developed, but he didn't pull away. She was frightened and lonely. She needed friendship.
"I won't leave you," he murmured. "You won't have to be alone."
She made no indication of hearing him. Daniel sat there, surrounded by the broken statues, for what felt like hours. The fire's glow had disappeared from the tops of the trees. The rain slowly eased into a trickle. Eventually, dawn touched the edge of the sky with the promise of light. It wasn't much, but after being nearly blind for most of the night, Daniel was relieved to see his surroundings again. He lifted the bloated arm. It was impossible to recognize as a part of him. His legs still shook, but he thought they would carry his weight. He shuffled onto his knees.
"I'm going to get inside," he said to Annalise. "Did you want to come?"
She stayed sitting,
her arms wrapped around her knees and her face hidden under the mane of fine hair. Daniel swallowed and looked back at Bran. He needed to get somewhere dry. As the rain thinned and dawn broke, a horrific chill burrowed into him, and hypothermia became a serious threat. If he didn't move soon, he might never stand again. He imagined walking away and leaving Bran in the garden. He pictured the crows coming back and pecking at the body, insects teeming over him, the soot running under his eyelids, between his teeth, into his pores. He couldn't stomach it. Daniel dug a hand under Bran's shoulders and lifted. He hadn't expected to be able to carry the man, especially not when his muscles were so drained, but he'd forgotten how insubstantial Bran was. He weighed no more than he had as the thin black cat. Daniel reached his damaged hand under Bran's knees and hoisted him up, staggered, then stabilized himself. "Are you coming, Annalise?" He couldn't see the girl. For all he knew, she might have retreated back to the crypt as soon as light danced along the horizon. He took a deep breath and tried not to let the shivers bring him to his knees as he pressed into the forest. The rain was no more than mist-like flecks, but fat drops continued to run off the trees. Daniel barely felt them. His clothes were sodden and heavy, and his shoes squelched in the mud. He felt as though he would never be warm again. The groundskeeper's cottage emerged from between the trees. Home. It meant warmth, dry clothes, and a bed, but he was too tired to feel more than a dull anticipation. His legs moved faster as he drew nearer, until he was stumbling through the weeds to reach its door. He struggled to keep Bran in his arms as he blindly felt for the door handle. When he'd left the building, he hadn't expected to ever return to it. He was glad he hadn't locked it on the way out. The room was quiet, but not as warm as he'd hoped it would be. He carefully placed Bran on the ground beside the fireplace, then scooted onto the hearth to light it. His fingers shook so badly that it took him 2 minutes to coax sparks out of the flint. When the kindling finally caught, he threw the stones aside and held his fingers so close to the flames that he would have burnt if he weren't so cold. The plague-infested flesh in his right hand was like something out of nightmares. In the soft glow of the fire, there was no way to avoid looking at it. He prodded at the back of his hand, and shudders coursed through him at the spongy sensation. He tried flexing the fingers again. They were still stiff, but curled a little farther. He didn't want to think about the limb being amputated, though that was probably what a hospital would do. "Am I even safe to go to a hospital?" The damage had stopped spreading when Eliza died, but that didn't mean it was harmless. He didn't want to risk infecting other people, especially patients with compromised immune systems. "But what's going to happen to me if I don't get it treated? Will it kill me? Turn to rot and poison my blood?" Two soft taps echoed from the house's front. Daniel turned. In his rush to light the fire, he'd left the door open, and he thought he saw a glimmer of flowing hair. The sun was just starting to breach the horizon and soften the pitch-black sky, but there were still a couple of minutes until dawn proper reached Craven Manor. Daniel managed a thin smile. "Did you want to come in? I'll shut the door and leave the windows closed so you'll be safe from the sun." He hadn't even finished speaking before Annalise ran through the doorway. Her form took on enough solidity to be clearly visible. She stopped beside the fire, hands clasped ahead of herself, and looked down at her brother. "I'm sorry," Daniel said. He forced himself to leave the growing flames to shut the door. Annalise folded herself onto the hearth beside Bran, then faded from sight again. His wet clothes were leaving puddles across the floor. Daniel cleared his throat. "Could you face the wall for a few moments, please?" He couldn't see the girl anymore, so he hoped she had listened. He grabbed a towel and dry clothes from his bag, then hurried to change. Getting the shirt over the swollen arm was a challenge, especially with numb fingers, but he managed it after a brief struggle. The soot still stuck to Bran. Daniel hated seeing him like that, coated in the residue of his insane mother. He fetched a tea towel, wet it, and did what he could to wipe the grime off Bran's face. As he worked, he tried to swallow the aching lump in his throat. He hadn't yet thought about what would come.